All right. Well, we love making new friends with organizations that we are already familiar with and have had the pleasure and honor of showcasing on our program. I'm talking about the Connecticut Insurance Department, and I'm so pleased to make the acquaintance of Gerard O'Sullivan. He's the Connecticut Insurance Department's Consumer Affairs Director, we're here to talk a little bit more about what the insurance department is doing and can do for you. We're also going to be talking about an issue that has been front and center to us over the past few weeks, and that's historic flooding that recently devastated parts of New Haven, in Fairfield and Litchfield counties. I got stuck in it myself. The Connecticut Insurance Department and the DEEP and Connecticut's Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection are all urging Connecticut residents to consider purchasing flood insurance as a critical measure to protect their homes and businesses. We're going to be telling you pretty much all you need to know about flood insurance. You may have heard misinformation. We want to make sure you get it straight from the source and you get it right and you're able to make the best decisions about it. Before we do that, though, we want to talk about another potential benefit that you might be leaving on the table. Did you know that 45,000 low to mid-income Connecticut residents can still file a claim to more than $120 million in federal benefits from 2021? What a huge difference that'd make in today's high inflation economy, right? Well, United Way of Connecticut and its partners have launched a statewide campaign to find these potential filers and get them the money they are owed before the expiration date of April 15th, 2025. The 2021 benefits that are available, that's the federal earned income tax credit, the Connecticut Earned Income Tax Credit, and the Federal Child Tax Credit could amount to thousands of dollars per eligible family right in your pocket. So don't get left out. Get all the information you need by visiting ctunitedway.org/getyourrefund or just dial 211 for InfoLine and ask to be connected to get your refund. All right. Well, we are here with Gerard O'Sullivan from the Connecticut Insurance Department. Gerard, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you today.
I understand you're doing a lot of talk about flood insurance, and we will circle into that subject. But for folks that are listening beyond that introduction, specifically for consumers, what are a few of the most important means of support or assistance that your agency tends to be able to provide?
I think just being available to consumers to answer questions and, more importantly, help them with any problems that they have with insurance companies, agents, claims people. We license all of those entities, and we're responsible for regulating them to make sure that they're following state insurance laws and regulations. So if you ever have a problem or just a question about insurance, you can reach us out to us at the department at 860-297-3900. Or online at www.ct.gov/CID, like Connecticut Insurance Department, or just send us an email at insurance@ct.gov, and we can get you the information that you need to make you a better insurance consumer.
Hmm. Now, you guys are also a critical resource to the Connecticut General Assembly as they consider and sustain new laws to both continue to protect and sustain Connecticut's insurance industry, but also to ensure that consumers are and state taxpayers are best served served as best they can by the companies that they pay their money to for various types of insurance. What are a couple of the biggest developments in terms of Connecticut law that you and your agency has been part of over the past few years that you think really makes a substantial difference in the lives of consumers and taxpayers here in the state?
Yeah, I think it's just about every year. And we do that through consumer complaints and also through examinations of insurance companies to see what's going on out in the marketplace and what we can do to better assist consumers, help people who need help with their insurance problems, as well as to make sure, most importantly, that insurance companies remain solvent and that there is a good market in Connecticut for people to buy insurance and that that marketplace is competitive.
What are some of the legislative initiatives that have occurred in recent years that you're already hearing are making positive difference?
Yeah, there's on it just about every facet of insurance, you know, healthcare side, you know, there's constantly tweaks to insurance statutes and regulations to help consumers get the information that they need and to make sure that they're requirements are being followed. I would talk, you know, going back, probably the biggest one was after Sandy Hook, and Connecticut was a leader nationally on bringing together behavioral health requirements in insurance policies. For consumers, for homeowners insurance, matching requirements that the insurance companies make sure that the repairs that are done meet requirements and that they matches what was there prior.
Mm-hmm. It fraud is a multi-billion dollar problem in terms of the insurance industry. You folks also step up in a big way to both educate consumers to protect them from fraud, but also to work with other agencies in collaboration to do your best to try to identify the bad actors who are perpetrating this fraud, whether it's against individual policy owners or even huge corporations. Some of them have been taken, even things in regards to, you know, the hijacking or freezing of accounts and things. We've got a lot of really, really interesting and troubling new world problems that are happening in the insurance industry. Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, I think that's not just insurance, but every industry is having those issues with data security and, as you said as well, fraud and things that are going on. And that's where the department can really be a resource for consumers, is to, you know, verify with the department that these entities are licensed. Verify with us before you purchase to make sure that what you're buying is legal in the state of Connecticut. And you can do that on those websites, phone numbers, and emails that we had sent to you that we had mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. So what are a couple of other things that the average caller or the average consumer who approaches the Connecticut Insurance Department is asking about that you're finding would be better served by reaching out to another agency? Are there any significant misconceptions about what the Connecticut Insurance Department does or can do for consumers that might be better handled by Consumer Protection or the Attorney General's Office or one of the other state agencies?
Yeah, that happens all the time. As you know, insurance touches just about everything. So we work very closely with every other state and, you know, federal agency. We consider it no wrong door. People can call us. If it's not under our jurisdiction, we'll get them in the right hands. And a lot of times, you know, we work in unison with those other agencies. You know, you had mentioned the Department of Consumer Protection. They would license the contractors. We work very closely with the Department of Motor Vehicles, who license the repair shops for automobiles. So it's never wrong to reach out to the department, and we'll get you pointed in the right direction if it's not something that we can assist you with under our regulatory authority.
Mm. We will not know what's going to happen in the future, at least in the week or so between when we've taped this conversation and when we air it. But certainly here we are sitting here on a Thursday morning chatting while Northwestern Florida is preparing for yet another major hurricane hit. We're sort of in about the second, near the end of the second, third of hurricane season. season, and preparedness is something that the Connecticut Insurance Department can't say enough about. So let's hit them with a couple of critically important messages again about being ready for when a hurricane may hit us here in Connecticut.
Yeah, I think that's the most important things for consumers to remember. If you're watching on TV and you're seeing these storms happen in other places, they can and do happen here. It's been a long time since we've had an actual hurricane reach land in Connecticut as a hurricane, but it's just a matter of time. And you want to make sure that you understand your insurance policy. It's something we recommend to folks, that you reach out to your agent or your company on a yearly basis. Go over your coverages, make sure you that there haven't been any changes that you need additional coverage for, and really just to understand what your deductibles are. You may live on the coast and you may have a mandatory hurricane deductible. Understand, you know, how much out of pocket that may be for you. Or, you know, to reduce your premium, you might have taken a voluntary wind deductible. You're really going to want to understand before the storm hits of what your out-of-pocket costs may be. And probably the number one thing, too, is that people need to understand that you need to prove your losses when you have an insurance claim. So best thing for people to do, you have that smartphone in your hand all the time, go room to room, film everything. That way you have documentation of what you have in your home that can be replaced if you do have a claim.
Very good. As we move into our point of focus, flood insurance, we need to lead into that subject by talking about how Connecticut and our insurance commissioner and your colleagues at the insurance department have taken such a national lead in terms of trying to address and deal with all of the various unknowns that lay in our future in regards to climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's, you know, it's happening more and more. I talked about, you know, seeing what's going on in other areas and even within Connecticut itself, when you saw that tremendous flooding that occurred, you know, in the valley in the central part of the state, yeah. Western part of the state. It's a wake up call for everybody that you need to be prepared and, you know, things have to be done on a large scale to ensure that flooding damages can be limited. We're never going to completely get rid of that risk, but you want to make sure that everything that can be done to fortify homes is done. And that's not just for flooding, but as you said, it's also for the hurricanes as well. There are things that can be done that are much less expensive on the front end than what would happen if you didn't do those fortifications and a storm was to come through or a flood was to come through.
I was going to say, Gerard, what we heard almost like an echo chamber through the post-storm coverage over the past few weeks is my insurance company didn't tell me I was in a floodplain, or, you know, I didn't think I was even eligible for flood insurance because there's never been a flood here or I've never had water damage before. While I guess it's not necessarily incumbent on an insurance company to tell their clients whether or not they're in a floodplain, it is true that anyone can buy flood insurance, right?
Absolutely. And again, a lot of the flooding that did occur in this last storm was outside of floodplains. And, you know, we talked to a lot of consumers who, you know, didn't realize that their homeowner's policy didn't cover flood. And, you know, they weren't required to buy flood insurance by their mortgage company because they weren't in a flood zone or a floodplain per the maps. But, you know, the cost is for flood insurance is based on what the risk is. So if you're outside of that flood zone, the costs are much cheaper than if you would be in the flood zone. And one of the things I constantly hear is on TV, when you're seeing these storms, they call it a 1 in 1,000 year flood. Yeah. That's for that specific area. And, you know as well as I do that you probably hear that once a month, that it's a one in 1,000 year storm in one area.
Until it hits the next town.
It pays to at least find out how much that flood insurance would cost you and what it protects you from. And, you know, not always is the flooding significant enough that we reach the requirements for individual assistance through the federal government. And if that doesn't occur, you know, you would be on your own to pay for those uninsured damages.
Sure. And it's not just homeowners that were affected. We saw hundreds and hundreds of businesses impacted, and certainly businesses are also eligible for flood insurance.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's other products as well that they can purchase to, you know, cover other risks such as earthquake, those types of things as well.
So I guess the most or one of the most important things for folks to know if they're listening or they've been considering flood insurance is, you know, they can't look on their fancy weather app to 1 or 2 weeks out and see that there's going to be 3 or 4 days of rain and then call up and get their flood insurance, because there is a little bit more of a waiting period before a claim can be made after the policy has been signed.
Correct. There's a 30-day waiting period before a flood policy takes effect. So people are going to want to realize that. And one of the things, you know, you had mentioned about, you know, businesses, small businesses, understanding their risks, and for consumers as well. Probably what you want to do is take out your insurance policies again once a year, review the declaration pages. That'll show what you're covered for. That'll show you the deductibles. And then you're going to want to flip the policy over and look at the exclusions under the policy. And that'll give you a lot of thought as to, hey, you know, these things are not covered. I may want to talk to my agent or my insurance company and see what I can do and what the cost would be to add those separate coverages.
The other important point that I'd like to ask you to speak to, Gerard, is so many of our businesses, including those affected by the latest flooding, are existing in buildings that are owned by someone other than themselves. So when it comes to flood protection, is the onus on the business owner who is a tenant of a landlord or a larger entity that owns the building they're operating in, or is it the property owner's responsibility to obtain the flood insurance and then make claims on behalf of their tenants?
It's both. The owner of the property is going to need to have the flood insurance for the structure, and the owner of the business would have to have the flood insurance to cover their inventory and, you know, business interruption and those types of things.
So a floodsmart.gov is a place you can start to get information. And as we said, you can go to the Connecticut Insurance Department's website for all kinds of information, not just about flood insurance, but you can get hurricane season preparedness tips. You could learn about our state's role in the climate change conference and many other things. portal.ct.gov/CID for the Connecticut Insurance Department is the place to go. And Gerard, before we say farewell to you, any other key points that you'd like to remind our listeners about before we say farewell for now?
Yeah, I think, again, the most important thing is insurance can be confusing. We understand that, and they want to reach out to us at the department. We can make sure that the insurance company is, again, following all laws and regulations, and we can help you understand your policy a little better. We recover over $5 million a year for Connecticut consumers in underpaid or wrongly denied claims.
Very good. Thank you so much. Gerard O'Sullivan is the Consumer Affairs Director for the Connecticut Insurance Department. And once again, if you're interested in learning specifically about flood insurance and all the ins and outs and things that you need to know to get started, floodsmart.gov is a good clearinghouse to visit. Gerard, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.